Ooga, ooga, skiddly-ay, welcome to the Deuces episode for Father's Day.
That's what you wanted to
That
open?
Is how I'm opening this. This is Jeremy.
And this is Brad.
And today we're going to review the fan-favorite movie, Daddy Day Camp, in honor of Father's Day.
We wanted to do a Father's Day episode.
And we debated a few few movies like Father
we
of the
debated
Bride.
Two movies. You
Father
gave
of the Bride
two
too.
Movies to choose from.
We thought of some others, but these just seem the most obvious. And so we went with Daddy Day Camp.
Thank God we did.
Well, yeah. This is going to be a fantastic one. We hope you all enjoy it.
Daddy Day Camp. You can stream. We streamed it on Amazon. I don't know why we did, but we did for $3.99. I would like my money back, but that's okay.
It was my money.
Oh,
so
it was your money.
Thank you.
I would like his money back, please. You can stream it if you want to. Whatever.
You can find it in many dollar movie bins.
Sure. I don't even know
if you
can
do
that.
See if you can get a reduction in price.
This movie is a sequel to Daddy Daycare. Some people call it the worst sequel movie ever. It was nominated. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It won a Razzie Award for worst prequel or sequel movie.
Correct.
So we are happy to bring you that. Because, hey, we're going to give you good, like last week, then we're going to give you bad like this week.
Yeah.
So hopefully
you got to take the good, you take the bad.
You take them both, and there you have the Deuce Podcast. Also the facts of life. But hey, that's another day. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No.
Nope. Okay. We're going to take a pause, and here are some other podcasts that we think that you would like, but don't take our word for it.
Broadcasting from the cursed earth. The Psychosemanticast.
Let us face, without panic, the reality of our time. The fact that atom bombs may someday be dropped on our cities. And let us prepare for survival by understanding the weapon that threatens us.
To have an ignorant, thin-skinned megalomaniac who sends off Twitters at 3 a.m. if somebody angered him.
Neo-Nazis turning up in Washington, D.C. to have a rally saying Heil Trump.
We talk about politics.
I knew I couldn't trust you corporate greaseballs!
We talk about movies.
You can't come down here and arrest people just because of what they look like. Are you crazy? But that's police harassment.
We talk about political movies.
We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble. They're all around us and we never knew it. You can only see them with these special glasses.
The Psychosemanticast.
And we're back. This is episode 12, like we talked about.
Yes.
We are going to drop Daddy Day Camp. And a little background on this movie is that none of the actors from the original movie decided to star in this or got smart and decided we're not going to do the sequel.
I thought that the son from the first one, the kid Ben, I thought he was the same actor, just grown up.
Nah, his parents were smart.
And not even him. He's just fine with the residuals from the first movie, and he'll call it a day.
All those residuals from... And I've never seen the first one. Have you seen the first one?
Yeah, I saw the first
one. Okay, I've seen bits and pieces of the first one, but like it was muted, so I didn't really watch it.
The first one was... It's cheesy, and it's ridiculous, and it's not a great film. But there was some good points to it, I guess, and this one is sorely lacking on the things that made the first one pretty positive.
Like Eddie Murphy?
Like basically being any kind of semblance of being an actual movie.
Before we start, we are going to tell you who directed this movie. This movie was actually the film directorial debut of one Fred Savage.
Yes.
Or as I like to call it, these are his real wonder years of why he directed this movie. Fred Savage actually is now does a lot of directing, directs a lot of sitcoms, dramas, and whatnot, mostly sitcoms. But before, it was a lot of Disney movies, and then he did this film.
Yeah.
And then that, for some reason, catapulted him into doing, like, Scrubs and like all these sitcoms.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah. Happy Endings. So hey, whatever. I guess you got to take the good, take the bad. Also nominated for a Razzie for Worst Director.
Yeah,
in this movie. So.
Well, you got to start somewhere, and thankfully he's only moved up.
You have to start somewhere. Yeah. You have to start somewhere, and for him, it was the Wonder Years.
So just to kind of give you a rundown. So the original movie starred Eddie Murphy. He has been replaced with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were together in Norbit, and I think that Eddie Murphy may have passed on some sort of curse to Cuba Gooding Jr. I mean, Cuba Gooding Jr. was in that.
It's not like Eddie Murphy has a curse.
Well, no.
Like that he passes on.
No, but Daddy Daycare, Day Camp does.
Pluto.
Daddy
Pluto
Day
Nash.
Cold. Yeah. So this was in Cuba Gooding Jr.'s like era where he was doing like Snow Dogs and all the other.
Was
hideous.
This before Snow Dogs?
And no, this was right after.
It was right after.
I think it was right after.
Before Snow Buddies.
Yes.
I don't know if he was in
and
that.
And before, or I think it was, couldn't remember if it was before or after he did like the Big Gay Boat Trip or whatever it was called.
I think it's just called Boat Trip.
Okay, but, that one, okay. Yeah.
So there was a lot of like Cuba Gooding Jr. has this weird like pedigree of movies where, you know, he catapulted, won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
For Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
Where he said, show me the money. And then he kind of did a bunch of crap.
Well, no, he
was
did
saying,
fine stuff, and then he was in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah, he did some fine stuff, like Pearl Harbor and, like, what
He was
what
in a bunch of movies,
come.
But after Pearl Harbor, then he was like, hey, you know what? Snow Buddies. And then from there, it seemed like it was downhill.
Right. He did a lot of direct-to-DVD movies that I don't even know.
Yeah.
I think after a while he was saying, show me the money, because I need it. And So we're going to drop the deuce.
Oh, real quick, too, before we get too much further here. Also, some other replacements, just real quick. So
oh, yeah.
Jeff Garland was in the first one and played his friend Phil. He's been replaced with this cheap knockoff.
I've never even seen this guy.
Cheap knockoff Jeff Garland named Paul Ray. And I mean, he basically is doing a Jeff Garland impression the whole time. And they even do their best to make him look like him.
I think he's doing a Jeff Ray impression. And he's doing Jeff Ray too.
Yeah.
His brother's probably a better actor.
And then in the first movie, there was a character that Steve Zahn played named Marvin.
Oh, right.
He's replaced by no one. And so he didn't even show up. They don't explain it.
Steve Zahn is irreplaceable, to be honest.
Well, like, yeah, but they're not even like, man, it's so tragic how Marvin got killed in that bus accident. They don't say anything about Marvin.
Whatever.
He's just vanished.
Yeah.
But they later replace him with some sort of shaggy stoner guy named Dale.
Yeah.
And then Regina King, who played Kim.
With, like, Josh Groban hair.
Yes,
like,
with,
you know,
Josh,
I mean?
Groban hair, yes.
Yeah.
Regina King was replaced by Tamala Jones.
Which, she's the coroner from Castle.
The coroner from Castle,
which I was,
yes,
like, oh, it's the coroner from Castle.
I'm glad she got some steady work after this movie.
Mm-hmm. There
so,
you go. There you
so
go,
there
Castle
was, there
fans.
Was a positive story. But, you know what? Cuba Gooding Jr., he got through this dark period. He came out on the other side, and now he's kind of having that revival period again.
OJ, with OJ Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
He did
American
really
Horror
well
Story,
that.
He did well in that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I think he's going to be in the other American Horror Story stuff or
good.
Whatnot.
He should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we look forward to that.
All right. So.
But meanwhile.
Meanwhile.
We're going to go to Camp Driftwood.
Oh,
so
well.
Let's drop the deuce on Daddy Day Camp.
Dropping it. Okay.
No other podcast has the guts to do this movie.
We don't know.
Don't,
sure.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
That might be a flagrant misrepresentation,
yeah,
on our part.
But I don't think so, but go ahead.
But no other podcast we know of.
That we know of.
Has
the guts.
To do Daddy Day Camp to the best of our knowledge.
I don't think it's guts. I don't think they have the...
insanity.
Yeah.
They have not gone insane enough to do daddy take him.
They don't like to torture themselves.
Oh, God, this was painful. Anyway, so we open up. And for those of you who have seen Daddy Daycare, you're probably familiar with just how hideous of like child care providers these people are. Basically, there's this kid who's unattended in the kitchen trying to climb up on the counters and get a little taste of this cake. And the cake says, congratulations, Daddy Daycare, class of 2007. Because apparently they have graduations. I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
But it must be for the kids who are leaving because they're going to start school or maybe. Whatever. So,
yeah.
But this little girl, she gets a taste and she's like, oh, okay. I'll just pull the whole damn thing on the floor. So she starts pulling the cake off and it just splat hits the ground. So then we see a bunch of kids running around like...
No, can I... I must stop right there. Foreshadowing, and I don't mean foreshadowing the movie. I mean foreshadowing our experience watching the movie. Splat!
Yeah, that's about how it goes. That's
pretty much.
It felt like somebody took a cake that said, good job on your last episode. Splat!
Did you
dropped
do
it
Hellboy
on the ground.
2? By the way, like a lot of people downloaded that. Thank you for downloading that. That's amazing. We got great numbers on that. So let's give you Daddy Day Camp.
Yeah, we'll go out on a high note. 12 episodes, we made it. So kids are running around inside, outside, wherever. They're running around like a bunch of psychotic shits.
Figure they would have figured this out by now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's their whole, like, it's charming because dads are trying thing that they did
not
from the first
enough.
One.
They're not.
These kids are running around. They're like, seriously, they're psycho. There's this kid. Here's things I caught. A kid who just walked outside with a bowl and threw chips or popcorn or whatever, threw it everywhere. There was a kid just squirting ketchup on another kid's chest. And the other kid who was getting the ketchup on him was just like, just like enjoying it. There's two girls eating giant watermelon wedges.
Oh, yeah,
wedges.
They look like
they're twins.
Olsen twins.
And so they look confused, and they're holding giant watermelon slices, and they look freaking creepy.
Yeah, they
and
do.
Then
they're pretty creepy.
Where the hell did they even get these giant slices of, like, the end-to-end slices of watermelon? I'm going to guess those kids had a knife unattended and got it themselves, but...
Yeah.
Just my thought.
Craft service table.
Yeah.
Don Draper was
yes.
the craft.
Craft services, which we found out was done by Don Draper.
Look at the credits. The credits it rolled by, and I said, Don Draper. And it's a like craft service table. Don Draper.
Advertising.
And I was like, what?
So there's a kid peeing in a potted plant inside. Yeah. There's the little girl who dropped the cake is now eating cake off the floor. And then there's two kids who apparently are painting unattended and are just like pouring paint everywhere.
And by the way, we're never going to see these kids again in
no.
this movie. You would figure if you're going to open a camp, hey, start with your clientele that you have now.
They're a little young. Those kids are
that's
like.
That's true, I guess. Yeah.
Those kids are like not school aged.
Okay,
kids.
I'll give you that.
And so they're talking about how great they're doing at this, at the daycare thing. And so these adults are just standing there grilling while kids are running around everywhere. And Charlie, the main character, he, of course, we have this goofy bit where he swats at a bug and smashes it on a burger. And as he goes to take it off there, he... not Jeff Garland grabs it and puts it in a bun and takes a big bite of it. And oh, this is good. Fat guy jokes. And so he...
I think it's a gross... Like, it's gross jokes. Like, this movie is full of, like, hey, we're trying to gross
it
you
is.
Out. Kind
of. It is. But it's also full of fat guy jokes.
But, yeah, but...
They, as a matter of fact, they say it many times. But, so Charlie and Phil, they start talking. They're eating, presumably, while kids are running amok outside. It's like Phil and Charlie and their wives, and they're talking about their trauma of going to summer camp and about how Phil ran this relay race and passed this baton off to Charlie, who dropped it, and that just set his life on this weird trip. Basically, he and his dad didn't help him and all of this, so he has this weird kind of trauma from summer camp. Kim, his wife, Charlie's wife, says, hey, well, you're going to have to send your son to summer camp because he's been wanting to go. The permission slip's on the fridge, and you're going to have to take him there.
Right. And he wants to go to the camp that all of his friends are going to.
Yeah, so he said he wants to go to Camp Canola.
Canola. Oil.
Canola. The Camp Canola is, Charlie says, oh, you don't want to go to Rival Camp Canola. You make sure to call it Rival Camp Canola.
Rival Camp Canola.
It's just a shack on some swamp. You want to go to Camp Driftwood. And he's so excited about this. And so,
which, by the way, the camp's name is Driftwood. So it's like, if you're going to call your camp that, it's probably going to be run down. It's called Driftwood.
Bit. Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So
Camp Crappity Crap. Yeah, let's go there.
So they all of a sudden are surprised to see, here's just a list of things I wrote down. First off, Camp Canola is fancy as hell. It's got valet parking.
Camp Canola valet parking.
Yep. A Vans-sponsored skate ramp.
Skate ramp. Tony Hawk's probably a counselor.
Mm-hmm. They have a open-air paintball range. Where there are, by the way, civilians just walking around, just begging to be shot by paintballs on accident. And what was that paintball area called?
Well, I called it Sup Airball, but I think you were like, that's Super Airball.
It literally was spelled S-U-P.
Sup Airball.
It was spelled S-U-P apostrophe A-I-R-B-A-L-L.
Come to Camp Canola.
And he was like, Sup Airball.
Sup Airball.
And I go, I think that's supposed to be Soup Airball. Like Super Bowl.
No, it's not.
I don't know. It's dumb.
Well, okay, if you're going to, why do you have a valet parking? You're dropping your kids off.
Well, yeah, but they're valet rich. That's how we know they're rich.
Yeah, whatever.
And then they're driving around like on their four-wheeler ATVs, and they have jet skis and all that kind of stuff. So that's how we know they're fancy schmants.
Right there, I had to pause this movie.
Oh, we paused this many, many times.
Many times. Mainly to take another shot of whiskey. But mostly, I pause it right here to say, I had a lot of predictions about this movie, and I'm going to run down some predictions of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I get a prediction right, and I never had seen this movie before. And so I said, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get some fart jokes.
Yeah.
We're going to get a kid that pukes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a tug of war contest with a rival camp.
Yeah.
We're going to get a boy, preferably Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son. He's going to run in the woods and get lost, and then they got to track him down.
Mm.
Okay. We're going to get a lesson that's not really a lesson, but is a lesson about a family or about kids or about fatherhood and what happens there.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get a rival camp director that will fall in a pile of mud or manure or whatever.
Yeah.
These are typical, like, meatballs kind of cliche movie things.
Yes.
So once we come, and I'd never seen this movie before, and I decided, let's write these down. When Jeremy says these things, you're going to hear me click my bell. And that means I'm correct.
Yes, that means you check one off your list. So, of course, Cuba Gooding Jr. Charlie says, wait until you see where we're going next, if you like that. And then he just yells, Camp Driftwood! Because he's very excited about it. Of course, they get there, and just like you probably guessed,
I think his new Show Me the Money.
Yes.
Camp Driftwood!
That's exactly right. It should be his catchphrase everywhere. So Camp Driftwood, of course, is all run down. There's garbage everywhere, and like washers and dryers outside. I didn't quite get what was happening there, but we see some douchebag like in a purple yellow tracksuit, basically saying.
Oh, that wasn't Sue Sylvester?
No, okay. But it was just dressed like her. They go to the same tailor, saying, you know, we need to make a deal. It's the best deal you're gonna get. And it turns around and it's Lachlan Monroe. If you guys know who that is, that's from. He was in Big Man on Campus or okay. Dead Man on Campus.
Was he the dead man?
Yeah.
Thank God.
He's that guy. For those of you who don't know who Lachlan Monroe is, he's basically...
Those who don't know who he is, congratulations.
Yes. He's basically what you would get if Jim Carrey...
And Gary Busey
had a torrid romance and had a child together. That is what Lachlan Monroe is.
That's pretty accurate. I'll agree with that. That's pretty good.
He has, this movie's full of him doing like, kind of things. Yeah. It's pretty bad. Anyway, so Lachlan Monroe shows up.
So he's the bad guy. The rival.
Yes. We find out his name in a minute, but... Yeah. He basically tells them, you don't want your kids to come here. It's a dump. You want to go to my camp, back over to Camp Canola. And they said, no, this is where he needs to be. And so he goes inside, and Brian Doyle Murphy is there. He says a few things fell apart after a rich family bought Camp Canola, and basically took all the campers away. So they haven't been able to make money.
Yeah.
Turns out it's Lance Warner, who was the kid who beat Charlie in his like race that he was scarred in when he was younger.
Shocker.
Ooh. So Charlie's old rival owns the other camp, which his natural reaction then is to buy this camp for some odd reason.
Well, you know.
So he goes home and then informs his wife that he's bought the camp. He says he still has Uncle Morty running things. That's
Brian Doyle Murphy.
Brian Doyle Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Bill Murray's brother.
So he says, hey, he's still got him running things, so it'll be fine. Then it cuts back to Charlie. He gets back and Uncle Morty is basically packing all his stuff up and saying he's leaving. So he leaves, and there's this bit where Charlie grabs onto the tire of his Jeep and drags him along while he's standing up, drags him along a little ways before he finally lets go.
So I'm going to tell you, Brian Doyle Murphy is the smartest person in this movie. He got out right away. Like, he left right away. He was like, ah.
He got out about 10 minutes in.
10 minutes into the movie, he was like, ah, done. Smart.
Now, interestingly enough, so
going forward, not so smart.
Yeah, no, this was not our best move. So, as soon as Brian Doyle Murphy leaves, a bank examiner instantly shows up and says they're going to have to foreclose on the camp.
What?
Like that day.
What?
So he gets gets the loan yesterday.
Yeah.
And today he's being foreclosed on.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And so he begs him, and the loan guy or the bank officer gives him 30 days to get everything in good shape and to show that he can get people coming in.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a bet that I don't think a banker would make, but... Anyway, so they start checking things out, like the outhouse or the bathrooms. The septic tank is backed up. And, of course, we know this, and we know it stinks in there because it's making fart noises the whole time. Yes, that was the first a bunch of fart noises. So, and they said, yeah, it's filled up with methane, and your septic tank's backed up. And they said, well, we'll give the children gas masks for when they go in there.
Here's your complimentary gas mask.
Yeah, so now they go into the montage of fixing kids. Things.
Fixing things.
Yeah,
yes.
One of many montages that is in this movie.
Oh, there's too many montages.
Yeah, and so there's this montage. Cuba Gooding Jr. is like fixing the roof and his hammer goes through it, and then he busts through the roof and like smoke flies up. And then
he mugs to the camera.
Yeah, of course. Because that's what Cuba Gooding Jr. in comedy, he loves mugging.
Look, in drama, he loves mugging too.
Yeah, but his mugging in drama is usually more appropriate than this. Like
that's true.
His comedy is one of those like a goo kind of faces that he makes all the time. So, Phil has fixed a tire swing. He's swinging on it, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is like sanding down a piece of wood, which shoots out, and I thought stabbed Phil, but he was still alive, so we're fortunate. The toilets are gross. Cuba Gooding Jr. lifts up the lid, and there's just like poop gushing out, like liquid sewage.
During that scene, I just thought to myself, oh, that's what it looks like when you flush an Oscar down the toilet. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
So that wasn't pained mugging looks on his face. That
wasn't
was
meta? That was real?
That was him going, oh my God, my Oscar. Oh, and then also, this montage is intercut with Dale, who is relayed to them by Brian Doyle Murphy to be the best counselor he has.
Right.
But it was also his first day at that time. So there's no other counselors. So anyway, but
Who loves red vines like Dale.
Oh, yeah.
He loves his red vines.
He loves red vines. So Dale is handing out flyers. Of course, he's handing them out to, like, teenagers, like, you know, 15, 16-year-old teenagers, and the elderly. So all those made sense.
Yes.
Getting your best money out of that. So anyway, the big day is here. There are parents around getting ready to go to camp. The very first one we see is some overly kind of crunchy granola mom who's, you know, telling you to be organic.
Mom.
Yeah, helicopter mom. Yeah. And her daughter is the smart girl who stays with us through a lot of this.
She's almost like the Jesse Spano of the group. Like, she's very, like...
Yes.
Do you know
very
I mean?
Independent.
And very independent.
Yeah. She's
Don't call
she's
me
kind
mama.
Of a smart
mama.
One. Yeah. Then there's the tough guy with his aggressive son who said he would rather be at home watching nudie flicks than being at camp. Then there's a mother giving
maybe
too much...
Maybe Judy flicks, like Judy Garland flicks. No, it was nudie?
No, it was
okay,
nudie.
Maybe it was nudie.
It was
nudie. I don't know.
We hear what we want to hear.
I wasn't trying to pay attention. Then
there's a mother giving too much medication to her hypochondriac child. There's one of those.
Who looks like Sponge from Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah.
Like a little mini Sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today's Sponge. What?
And then there's a nerd kid playing video games with his sarcastic and supposed to be cool, I think, little brother. His mom says, don't let, to the little kid says, don't let people make fun of your older brother. And he goes, who am I, Dr. Phil?
Usually cool kids reference Dr. Phil.
Yeah, you know he's cool, though, because he's wearing Oakleys with, like, red lenses.
You know, these kids were like Pete and Pete, but, like, really bad versions of Pete and Pete.
And Pete and Repeat.
Pete and Repeat.
And then there's, we get on the bus. The bus pulls up. Everybody gets on there. And there is a kid named Mullet Head. And he is just standing there bragging about his mullet to whoever. Like, I don't even see who he's talking to. He's just bragging about his mullet and does the whole business up front, party in the back thing with it. So, and then we also see there's this, like, the pretty popular girl who the nerd kid kind of fawns over for a moment. So,
yeah, the Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Hey, I'm just putting these characters as they are, Saved by the Bell characters, okay?
So the bus goes up to Daddy Day Camp, and as it's driving up, it crashes into the main office.
Dale Screech.
So he crashes into it, which, you know, they have to fix. But then they break them into groups.
First of all, they had a month. They have a month, and they did all this in a month to like get all the cabins and everything.
Well, they had to have done that in like days, yeah, because they don't have much time.
No. And then they just run the bus right into it.
So they said they're going to have people who are going on a nature walk. And those people are going with not Jeff Garland, Phil, as it was. And they're just dumping lotion everywhere. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s group gets bow and arrows, which seems wise. And then the last group, Dale, is just like doing the robot.
Robot dance party.
Yes. Robot party dance club.
I was a camp counselor back when I was 18, and we had a group called Express Yourself, and we played like the statue game and stuff like that. But then one kid, he accidentally farted. Like, I was doing another group, like a different club, like archery or something, and he farted, and I said, hey, this isn't Express Yourself. Like, I don't know why I thought of that, but whatever. But no, they have different clubs, and I did the statue game, and it's kind of what Dale's doing. He's kind of doing like a dance kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this doesn't go over well with everybody because all of a sudden Mullet says he didn't sign up to do no activities with any skirts because they have cooties.
And I love that the son of Richard Dean Anderson is at this camp, MacGyver.
God, he kind of does look like that. let's see. After he says they have cooties, the smart girl goes, no, cooties, that's just something you say when you're afraid to interact with the opposite sex. And then for some reason, they all just start freaking out and like attacking one another.
It's the age-old camp political argument. What is cooties? It always brings mayhem everywhere.
That's true. I think that still happens. That still happens in Washington, too.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure. So anyway, the nature walkers are lost. They don't know what they're talking about. At one point, Phil is like, watch out, that's poison ivy. And the smart girl's like, it's just a bush, dude. Calm down. And then they
think
they...
Which one, senior or junior?
Junior.
Okay. There's a lot of juniors in this movie then.
Yeah. Then they see a log, which they think is an alligator. And he goes, no, it's just a log. Look. And so he kicks it. And bees fly out. And so then they're running around in the water. And they just continue to be lost this whole time.
Right. That's their gimmick in this one.
Yeah, this portion. And then it goes to Charlie, who is with the archery kids.
Winter's Bone. Mullethead. Not Winter's Bone. Sorry.
Yeah, Mullethead. Mullethead. Is his name.
Sorry.
They're like, well, we can't shoot out there. There's a bunny rabbit on the range. And Mullethead says, nah, let's do it. Rabbits are good eating.
Good eating.
And so he's going to shoot it. So Charlie says, no, let me go get it. So he runs out on the range and picks it up because lots of rabbits just sit there for you to pick them up and hold them. Mullethead, in the meantime, screams, air varmints. Air varmints at birds that are flying by. And so all the kids just react by also firing their bow and arrows, their bows in the air, or their arrows in the air. Now we get the classic Cuba Gooding Jr. doing some of his patented scared mugging and going, as like the arrows fall in a circle around him.
Yeah.
Classic.
None of them hit him.
None of them hit him. Just a perfect circle, like, around him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Dale teaching them to tie knots and using, of course, sci-fi terms. He's talking about Star Trek again, which was the deal of Steve Zahn's disappeared character from the first movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a big sci-fi nerd.
Okay.
And so this guy kind of is doing the same thing, which makes me think it was supposed to be the same character. And he didn't show
and
up,
they
so
just
they
couldn't get Steve Zahn. And come so on, they had get to, anyone else.
And so they had to fix it, like who he was or something. Okay. I don't know. It just seems odd that they would use the dialogue that seems like it was
Donald
meant for somebody
Lowe
else.
Wasn't available to play Steve Zahn's character?
Take that back.
Okay, well, I love Donald Lowe.
But so he's teaching them to tie knots, and then later, for some reason, he's just tied to a pole, and they're running around him. So they apparently learned how to do that. In the meantime, Charlie spots the Camp Canola people looking at his group. He goes to confront Lance, and Lance is what we assumed at the time was his shit of a son. Basically, they're wearing matching purple tracksuits. And he says, "You'll never beat the chief in the Olympiad."
Ooh.
That he's challenging. He said Damn. that you're never going to beat him. And then he says,
"Okay, like, end of movie. Bum. Yeah. No.
There's more. No. Lance says that this isn't my son. I hate kids, and which is odd because then the rest of the movie we were going.
Which is odd because that's your profession.
Why does that kid dress like him?
Yeah,
and always like by his side. Yeah. If it's very
Makes
odd.
It creepy.
None of the other kids are dressed like them.
Yeah." Kind of creepy. Yeah.
So Plus the rest of the like movie kids. We were...
That's your profession.
Yeah.
Is that you deal with kids.
Oh, some yeah, but that happens.
Or does it?
Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah, okay.
So in the meantime, Mullet Head... God, I gotta go back. This kid is obnoxious, by the way. He's like,
yeah,
bringing the wall down and like yelling things at him. And although the kid did have a couple of them that I thought were kind of funny, but not really fun. Like it was amusing in context of this movie where things were really unfunny. Even the smallest, even close to being funny things were funny.
And these are more montages.
Yeah,
this movie has more montage. I want someone to go on YouTube and make a montage of the montages in this movie. There's so many.
So all the kids are hanging out by the snack shack. And Mullet Head picks the lock of the snack shack. Of course, when he opens it, the whole shack just falls apart. So the kids are going and getting the candy and just say, eat it all. So they're hyper. The bus is pulling up for them to head home, and they're just running like crazy. A bunch of kids, about that time, Phil and his group finally make it out of the woods.
Yeah.
And obviously, they've gone through hell. And
this is the worst camp ever.
Yeah, and so they all pile on the bus, and then this kid, who we didn't see with the introduction with the other kids, holds up a skunk inside the bus, which just starts spraying on the windows and everywhere else.
Perfect.
And all the kids run out, and they said, "Well, why would he do that?" And they said, "He was born without a sense of smell," which is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kid is just part of this for some weird reason.
Hmm.
In the meantime, too, Phil, like as soon as he got out of the woods, said he had to go to the bathroom. So he's sitting in the bathroom, and he's wearing, so it's not like a gas mask, he's wearing a snorkel.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Well, okay, here's the thing that bothers me about that.
Well,
so,
first of all.
Yes.
Fart joke.
We got another fart joke coming up here. But he's got the snorkel on to try to keep the scent of this methane poop filled like shack out. But you're using a snorkel, which means you're breathing that directly into your
right.
mouth now. So now instead of breathing it, you are like filtering it through your teeth. So it is not the same as a gas mask. Anyway, but the light goes out and he goes, ugh. Light bulbs burned out. So then he busts out his lighter to get some light in there, and it explodes. You see the whole bathroom blows up. And he walks out, pants around his ankles, with the toilet seat around his neck.
His neck. It had to shoot up so far and then drop completely on around his neck.
Yeah, like a game of explosion
because
horseshoes.
Because that's the only
something.
Way that would happen. But for comic relief, we always have to have, like an explosion, and the toilet seat is around the person.
Oh, and where the mask was, you see, like, the smoke where it was covering his eye. Yeah.
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 And so, cartoonish.
Yes. So hilarity ensues with that. we cut to back in their front yard. Kim is washing their son, Ben.
No, I mean, you forgot, because the skunk, you forgot the whole skunk, and then the kid gets off the bus.
Yeah.
Right. Because the kid gets off the bus, and he pukes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the hypochondriac kid.
Yeah, the hypochondriac pukes.
Which is his superpower.
Give me my bell.
I'm giving it to you. Okay. So they're bathing Ben in the front yard in tomato sauce to try to get the skunk scent off of him. And Kim suggests Charlie calling his father. Now, earlier in the story, Charlie kind of said where his father was really hard on him when he was at camp and when he lost in the race. So he doesn't want to deal with his dad. So he says, you know, forget about it. Next day, only 7 kids came back to the camp. So they're losing money like crazy.
The 7 kids are Skunk Boy.
The Skunk Boy.
Hypochondriac. Mullet Head. Smart Girl.
Pretty Girl.
Pete and Repeat. And that's 7. And then the 2 sons that they have.
Yeah, the 2 sons.
Yeah.
And, Aggressive kid.
Yeah.
So it's like 7 plus their kids.
Yeah.
They're going to be losing money. And of course they're determining this by opening every bill and spreading every page of it across the table.
That's how you pay bills.
Yeah. In classic sitcom.
What bills do we have? I don't know. Spread them across the kitchen table. We'll deal with them later.
So they're trying to figure it out. In the meantime, Camp Canola raids Camp Driftwood. So there are kids in camo and military gear with paintballs, and they are shooting unarmed children, which have no protection on for their face or anywhere, just shooting them everywhere with paintballs.
It happens.
And somehow they managed to get Phil, his hands like in shackles, and his feet too, and like have his legs pulled apart and his arms like held up to the tree.
Somehow.
Yeah, we do not know how that's been happening. Kid earlier came up and like kicked him in the junk or something, just because the Camp Canola kids are crazy. Are evil, and that's how we know.
You have to have a ball kick joke.
Yes, and that happened. You didn't write that one down.
I did not write that one
down. Will you ding that one for me, though? Just ding it. I'll give it to you. And so Lance and his non-son ride up on a motorcycle, and the kid is in a sidecar. And they're, again, now they're wearing matching purple camouflage.
Where do you get purple camouflage?
I don't. You can order it. Yeah, I've seen it.
Where are you trying to hide from? Like, what are you hiding behind Barney the purple dinosaur?
Oh, I don't know. What if you're in a field of lilacs? What if you're in Holland and you're hiding amongst tulips?
Why are you giving credit to this movie where credit shouldn't be due?
I am definitely
stop
not.
Stop defending this movie.
Well, they ride up on their motorcycle with a spear. And the spear is what they threw to challenge them to
the Olympiad.
They said, we're going to do it to the XLV Olympiad or VLX or whatever it was.
Yeah, XLV.
And the kid's like, that means 37th. And Cuba Gooding Jr. goes, 45th. And just like whispers it to him. And I don't know why that part made me laugh, because it was very like the timing was quick on it, and it made me laugh. But the so he says
Roman
he will not challenge
jokes
him.
Are funny,
yeah, they are. They I love, are. Roman
love Roman numeral jokes.
Yeah, sometimes though they get to me. I don't know.
No, that's why I said I like Roman numeral jokes.
anyway, so. He and the non-son basically are like, you know, we challenge you, and Cuba Gooding Jr. says, no, I don't want to do this, and basically they say, you're going to have to call your dad. So he calls in his dad shows up, and the kids are all fighting, Colonel Buck Hinton is his dad, and he is immediately taking charge of the situation. Buck wants to retaliate, but Charlie tells him no, he doesn't want him turning them into Marines like he would have them. So Buck is taking them on a march and finally gets to a place.
I call him Major Grampdad.
Major Granddad?
Major Granddad, yeah.
Yes. So Major Granddad gets him to get them to somewhere, and they're like meditating. And
yeah, that was weird.
All of a sudden, the Camp Canola people show up again on ATVs, just riding around them in circles. And again, Lance is in like a purple dirt bike outfit, and the kid is in the purple dirt bike outfit on the back of his ATV. Mm-hmm. And they're just talking trash.
They
and
call him, what did he play, Bingo, Grandpa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he calls him, like, Major... He calls him something, General Grandpa or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, General Diaper.
General Diaper.
Yeah, and he goes, why don't you go play some bingo? And the kid's like, I'm 37! Yeah. B-13! Just, like, yelling things. Just, like, yelling out bingo
and
things.
It keeps going. Like, yes. The joke keeps going.
Yes.
Actually kind of giggled on that.
Yeah, I did when he first yelled. Yeah, it's because the kid delivered his lines really quick every kind time, of. And they were, like, so weird.
Yeah, they were kind of weird.
And so Buck was like, okay, we are going to get back at them. So the colonel runs a raid on Camp Canola with the kids. They get their flags back, and in the process, they just trash Lance. So they hit him with tomatoes and eggs and everything else. And hit him in the face with a pie.
You give me that one?
Where they hit him in the face with a pie?
Yeah, and then the rival camp director.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Like, instead of the falling in the mud, they hit him. Yeah, they get him all messed up.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
Like a half of
them.
Ding-a-ding.
Oh, and then the kids sneak up behind him and put a hook on the back of his pants without him feeling it. And then drive off in the go-kart or whatever, which rips his pants off.
Will you give me that one, too?
Why?
I don't know. I just wanted to hit the button.
Okay, you can hit ding it all you want. So, rips his pants off. And this is odd scene. The other kids from Camp Canola come up and are kind of looking at him and shaking their heads. Like, how could you let them get the drop on you? Including his little sidekick. So he's standing around in his star underoos and purple track jacket and covered in just junk. And then he does this kind of like, come here, motions with his finger to the kid. And we're like,
creepy.
What is happening?
Very creepy.
And so finally we see now he rolls up to the camp, to Camp Driftwood. He's got on yellow shorts now because he has to wear something in front of the kids. So Lance shows up with a sidekick and just raises hell. So he makes fun of Charlie and Ben, Charlie's son. And so Charlie isn't having that. And he challenges them to the Olympiad. So it's on now.
It's on.
It is on. Charlie tells his dad that they're going to be doing things his way. And that, you know, he's in charge. He doesn't want him running it like some military operation, and then immediately asks him what he thinks he should do. So his dad, the colonel, says, well, let's have a sleepover. So we're going to have a sleepover, basically where they can team build and everything.
Right.
So Charlie's back at home talking to Kim.
I think he
and
says, let's
this.
Have a montage. We haven't had one in 5 minutes.
Oh, we will have one soon. Pace yourself. We can only pay for so many montages.
The editor went crazy.
Yes. So Charlie tells Charlie's talking to his wife, tells her what they're doing, and all of a sudden the banker and a bunch of other bankers show up at their house and start walking through doing a pre-appraisal. And
oh, is this a Tiffany lamp?
Yes, this is a Tiffany lamp, and start picking through everything they have. And Charlie had been trying to tell her that if we can win this Olympiad, more people will join the camp.
Oh,
And that's how we'll make the money.
That's how.
Yeah, because you will get them all to pay like instantaneously.
She's like, maybe we should just sell the camp or
yeah. And he's like, no, no.
And then she's like, oh yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So then when she wasn't into it until the bankers were looking at things, and she says, what? We have a whole nother week, so they have 1 week to get all this money, which. Seems impossible.
Very forgiving wife. Very forgiving wife.
Yes. So she tells Charlie, you know what? If winning this Olympiad will help save that camp and our house and my mama's vase, I think she said.
Screw bankruptcy.
Yeah. Then you...
Your pride is more important.
Yeah, then you go win this.
Chapter 7? No. Chapter 1 is your pride.
Okay, so then we come to our next montage. The kids are Colonel's leading them on marching. Mm-hmm. They're doing jumping jacks.
Calisthenics, jumping jacks.
Complete
montage.
With Phil being sweaty and tired, not being able to complete them. Because, you know, fat guy jokes. They're doing archery, and when Mullet Head goes to shoot a bird, the Colonel... Make sure he aims at the target instead. They're arm wrestling. They're learning how to start fires. They're running tire courses. So they're getting into shape
in
this
montage.
They're doing
it. All in a montage of 5 minutes.
Yes. And occasionally we go back to the occasional two brothers subplot where the nerdy one is still fawning over the girl and the younger brother who's supposed to be the cool one is still encouraging him. To go talk to her. Don't waste your time. Go do this. And so he's trying to get him over there. And so I think they kind of fight a little bit. Then the aggressive kid is looking upset. And he has a heart-to-heart with Phil. And Phil says, oh, you can tell me. You can always trust a fat guy. Was the literal line. You can,
which you can.
Really? Always trust the fat guy? That just caught. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's a very weird line. And the whole scene of this is very weird.
Yeah, it's odd. I think it was plugged back in to
fill some time,
make something work later on.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so that's the only reason it was in there. Turns out the kid wets the bed. And Phil says, and he's worried about doing the sleepover. Phil says, I used to wet the bed till I was like 10, but I can tell you the secret to make sure that doesn't happen.
Now, we've seen Phil for what, about 45 minutes in this movie?
Yeah.
I think it was way past 10 years old since he wet the bed. I'm just saying.
More likely.
Yes. More like last week.
Yes. So the colonel challenges all the kids to get stronger and keeps trying to, like, kind of rally them. They're hiking, and there's this piece where, like, they're all marching, and Cuba Gooding Jr. and Ben are riding on this golf cart with all the gear. And Ben doesn't want to be on the golf cart. He wants to be up there by his grandpa. And so he's mad that he has to sit back here with Charlie. And then at one point, the colonel tells him, you know, when I wanted to be stronger, like I would put rocks in my backpack, I would push myself.
Oh, that's why he grabbed those rocks?
And so the kid grabbed the rocks and put them in there because he wanted to be stronger like his grandpa.
Okay.
So then they get to the campfire. They all eat a big dinner and they're all full. And of course... the aggressive kid says, I'm so full, and then burps. And then the next person goes, I'm even fuller, and burps bigger.
This is a burping contest.
Yeah, so. And then the last guy goes, and then Phil goes, I think I'm the fullest. Makes this giant like, burp. Yeah.
Winner.
Ridiculous.
Now I have room for
dessert. If only you would have written that, you could have dinged the bell.
No, burping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burping contest. Yeah. So they are about ready to have marshmallows, but there are none. So it turns out they just have fruit. So now they're roasting fruit, including a kid whose banana looks like it's burned. The nerdy kid tries talking to the girl because his younger brother has told him some lines to say. He gets over there and he's talking to her. And it seemed to be okay till he ate something that was too hot and he starts running around like crazy because his mouth is on fire.
Yeah.
Then the kid, the hypochondriac kid who had the burnt banana, he says, I think my banana's, something's wrong with it. He goes, no, a roasted banana, it should be good. The flavor should be a lot better. He's like, just try it. So the kid licks this goo that's coming out of the banana.
Mm-hmm.
And he just immediately looks like he's going to puke again. Yes. And he runs straight to Charlie's gigantic tent that he set up and pukes in the tent. So then Charlie goes and pokes his head inside to look around, and we get some more classic Cuba Gooding Jr. Kind of comedic mugging for the camera, and it's apparently everywhere. And actually, later then they close the tent off with with crime scene tape.
Crime scene tape.
Why would you bring crime scene tape to the woods?
Matches, you know, a pot and pan, yeah, crime scene tape. These are things that you need when you go camping. You never know.
So the colonel, he peps everyone up and just inspires them.
Yeah, gives that locker room speech.
So yeah. Ben, in the meantime, he had run away a little bit ago, and they just now figured it out. He ran away into the woods.
Kid runs away in the woods.
Yep, after the other kids were teasing him.
There you go.
They find him in the woods. He was trying to be tougher, so he was climbing a tree with a backpack full of rocks. So he was just trying to be stronger like his grandpa.
Oh, no, does this, because I keep ringing this bell a lot, does this mean I wrote Daddy Day Camp?
It might be.
Oh, God.
Or it's just that obvious. So Charlie wants them to, Charlie tells them, guys, it's one thing to be tough, but you also have to be kind and have heart. You know, there's more to things than winning. And he talks to Phil later and he's saying, I don't want any of these kids to be like my father. You know, he was cruel in this and this and he didn't care about me. But little does he know. Buck hears everything that he's saying because he's standing next to this tree.
Well, he's camouflaged behind the tree.
Right. Well, you wouldn't be able to see him then.
Yeah. He's smart. He doesn't use purple camouflage.
Right. Right. Yeah. So then we get a shot of Charlie sharing Phil's tent with him. And, of course, fart joke. Phil farts. And we get this obligatory fart joke. Charlie walks off into the woods to go sleep somewhere else. All the kids are fine, but of course he's hurting in the morning. But when they get up, they can't find Buck anywhere. So they're not sure where he was. They go to the Olympiad, and they're trying to sign people up. Buck still is nowhere to be found. Charlie gets a letter that basically written from Buck that says he has to leave because he has to go run some drills. And the kids are upset because they're going, he abandoned us, he left us. And he goes, no, he was called away to do these drills in the middle of the night. And it's an inspirational letter, and so he reads and tries to cheer them up. But they're still pretty bummed. So Kim shows up and tells Charlie to find Buck, who is leaving on a train. They found a train schedule.
Yeah, where are they at in this movie? That there's a train station within driving distance.
Or within running distance,
running,
or wherever
he
goes.
Whatever.
Yeah. Which there can be train stations, but this doesn't seem like, I don't know, this seemed like an odd looking.
Yeah.
It was like middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Looks like he was getting on a platform in London. I'm not sure where
he was. They are a 50s movie.
So he goes and finds him. Charlie finds Buck, and Buck is kind of talking and says he's hurt, or kind of shows that he's hurt because he's retired, and the military doesn't need him anymore. They don't really care about him. He doesn't get to participate in all these things that he wants to do. And Charlie realizes it's kind of more than this, just this. So you have this father and son moment where, you know, it's about, you know, it's kind of got that father and son thing, but it's about something else also. Yeah, there you go. I was just waiting for that. I was I was like,
I was waiting for you to describe what was going on.
I did describe what was going on. All right, there you go. So they reconcile and they head back to the Olympiad. So we start seeing the next montage of stuff happening. So Ben and the smart girl are trying to start a fire, and they go, "Do you smell gasoline?" Right as the other team's fire starts up.
So they didn't start the fire, but it's always burning since the world's been turning.
There you go. And then they're doing the three-legged race with the brothers, and as they're running by, they pull this cord up that trips them. So we find out that the Camp Canola kids are cheating.
What did I call them? Dastardly, or what are they, like, from the Laugh Olympics?
Yes.
What are they? The Dudley Dastardlies?
Yeah, yes, that. So.
Like the kid, the kid is just behind the bushes laughing.
Yeah, that's him. He's Muttley.
He's Muttley.
That kid's name is Muttley. I never caught his name.
It's Muttley. That's his name.
So, they basically, and of course the smart girl, now we start getting lines. Like, it was one thing to me when she regurgitated facts a lot of times where I was like, well, how would you know that? Whatever. But then she starts saying things like, by my calculations, the other team is cheating. And I'm like, your calculations?
Yeah. I don't have time to explain it. What do you think I'm... She's what do you think this is, Goodwill Hunting? This is Daddy Day Camp.
So, they said they're cheating, and Buck says the best way to combat a cheater is to outsmart them.
Or leave, and maybe the movie could be over with.
Well, you know, there's that too. And so you see the wrestling. They have Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah, it's one of the events.
Yeah.
There's 12 events that they're going through. That I forgot to tell you that. Oh. He says, all these 12 events that you have to do. So, yeah. And one of them is wrestling.
Yes.
Another one is eating, like a marshmallow eating contest.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, which the fat aggressive kid.
But
gets
I get
to
like
do.
Pie eating contest, but marshmallow eating.
Well,
contest?
They would do those. It's like those chubby bunny things. That's the only thing I could think of.
No, chubby
but that's
bunny.
Just to see how much you can shove in your mouth.
Yeah, not swallow and eat all of it.
Anyway, but so they're getting ready to do the wrestling thing, and you see the one kid who has no sense of smell walking up, and he's got, you can see the odor lines coming off of him, and everybody else has clothespins on their nose, because, you know, you got to. Well, they doused him in skunk again, and he can't smell anything, so when he's wrestling the other kid just passes out.
Isn't that kind of cheating, though, too?
I mean, yeah.
Kind of.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thanks a lot, Major Grandpop.
So then they have a substitution. They're doing the tug of war. And they're doing a substitution.
Told you, there was a tug of war. There's always a tug of war in these movies.
They substitute the hypochondriac kid in. They substitute Sponge in.
Sponge. Yeah, and, today's Sponge.
Of course, when they're doing the rope back and forth.
Oh, no.
It's making him seasick.
Oh, no.
And he throws up on everyone. Correct. And
my
so
hand's getting tired.
They all let go, and they win. But then a lot of them are just skill, like Mullet Head. The one kid gets a bullseye. Mullet Head.
Pulls a whole Robin Hood thing.
Yeah, Robin Hood thing just splits the arrow in half with the next one. There's a few of them that
he wins his maid Marion, who also has a mullet.
Yes.
No, that didn't happen in the movie.
Who has the mullet?
It should have, though.
So then it comes down to they're doing a balloon toss.
Did you call it a mullet?
For mullet?
Like a female mullet?
Yeah, the female mullet. The
I
mullet.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, man.
Oh, wow.
I'll show you some pictures.
Yeah, no, don't.
Too late. So they're doing a balloon toss, and one of them, it's up in the air, and it just bursts midair. And they're like, well, that's weird. So the one girl starts looking around.
Oh, Muttley.
And she sees Muttley is in the trees with a slingshot.
I love that we're calling him Muttley.
Excuse me. He's a Muttley's in the trees with a slingshot shooting these balloons. And so the kid who normally wets the bed, who didn't wet the bed this time, oh, which we didn't tell you, the trick to not wetting the bed is wearing your day clothes, apparently.
Well, what's he say? He says something about, like, the goblins?
Yeah.
The wedding bed goblins?
Yeah.
The trick of getting rid of the wedding bed goblins or something like that?
Yeah. The trick of getting rid of the wedding the bed goblins is to wear your daytime clothes. Because the kid slept in his day clothes.
No, it's called Bed Wedding Goblins.
Bed Wedding Goblins.
Which would have been a better movie to watch.
Bed Wedding Goblins.
I would have watched the shit out of that movie.
With Charles Nelson Reilly doing the voice of a goblin.
Oh, fuck. Yes. That would have been amazing. Oh.
So the kid goes, he goes, hand me a balloon. And they're like, but isn't the water over that way? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm going to fill it with something. I'm going to fill it with something else. I've been holding it in since last night. So he goes and fills the balloon with pee. And then you see him, like, get up behind Muttley. And he's like, yeah, you're not going to do this. And he throws and hits him with a balloon full of pee. Which
is very well dehydrated, though.
Which is clear, just like water.
It's clear, like water.
He gets a lot of water. He's very hydrated.
Like, maybe Mountain Dew in there?
Yeah, or something. Yellow food color. Like, come on.
Come on. Borrow some Mountain Dew from Don Draper.
Yeah. So the kid's like, oh God, it's not water. It's not water, running away.
All right.
When the other kids from his team spin around and they don't catch their balloon. So, Camp Driftwood wins another one. And so they're down to their last competition. It's the relay. And it's like a relay into a rock wall climbing competition. So, Ben is telling, Ben is going to be the last leg of the relay, just like his dad was. And Charlie tells him, you know, don't drop it. Whatever you do, don't drop it. And he's being too serious, like his dad was to him.
Yes.
And then the colonel looks at Ben and he goes, hey, he's like, the important thing is have fun, and tells him what he should have told Charlie, just to have fun.
There you go.
And Ben's
kind of a lesson. Kind of,
yeah, it happens a bunch. Yeah. And so Charlie's like, yeah. Or Ben is like, yeah. So somebody hands a baton to him, and as he's running, he's bobbling it part of the way for way longer than we needed to have him do that. It should not have gone on. The bobbling should not have gone on as long
as
it did.
No, not really.
But he finally regains control.
Like this movie.
And he.
Not the control part, the bobbling part.
And he gets to the wall and starts climbing. Well, then another kid is climbing it, too.
Muttley's climbing.
Is it Muttley?
Yeah.
Yeah, Muttley's climbing the other side of it. And so they're both climbing. And Ben slips off of it. And they're like, oh, no. Well, the smart girl comes up. Turns out she found a can of grease.
From my calculations.
Yeah, from my calculations, he's been cheating. And so he oiled down the Camp Driftwood side of the wall so that they wouldn't win. And so, of course, there's this big thing about them cheating and going back and forth. In the meantime, Ben decides he's got an idea. He climbs a tree, which is exactly next to the rock
climbing wall,
gets to the top, and then swings over with his rope hits the button at the top. So he won. So they won the competition. Of course, Lance is freaking out. He's
Muttley.
Going nuts. Muttley comes down. So we finally start getting a better sense Lance is kind of, you know, he's brought low with all this. And Muttley says, yeah, and stop telling people I'm not your son.
He knocks the wall down.
Yeah. And he's like, and down comes the wall, like he said earlier. But yeah, he said, stop telling people I'm not your son. Oh my, so he is his son all along.
Oh, it's so still creepy.
Weird. That's so weird.
Still doesn't make things less creepy.
No, it doesn't. The girl kisses the nerd kid.
Yay.
Yeah, so, and then all these rich parents come over and they say, we'd like to sign up with Daddy Day Camp. We'd like to start today if we could.
Could we do that? Is that possible?
So they want to start that right away. So
we don't have valet parking. Yeah. Oh, then no, I don't want to. Money problems. We don't have any sup air ball, though.
The money problems are solved then. So Charlie thanks his dad and salutes him, calling him Colonel. Buck says, call me Dad. Thank you. Ben runs up and jumps into Charlie's arms. So it's the grandfather, father, son, all three of them. And together they all walk, like, into the distance. The end. Craft Services by Don Draper. So, that has... You've been deuced.
You've been deuced.
We dropped the deuce.
Daddy Day Camp. I can't believe we went through that, but we did.
We did.
That's awesome.
Nothing awesome about
There's
that.
Nothing awesome. I'm trying to say it's awesome.
And I know. You got to keep positive about it.
You kind of do, but that's
it's,
what...
You know what? And we've talked about this, too. Sometimes it's hard to see the good stuff in some of these.
There is some good things.
There were some good
moments.
It's
not a lot, but no, that's what not a lot, we thought about it. But let's hear what other people thought about it.
Yeah, let's.
We?
Yeah.
Should we do this?
Let's do it.
Oh, right. This person gives it a 6 out of 10. So they actually kind of enjoyed it. And
is
they
this,
said.
Is this your high one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a 6
Look,
out of 10.
It got a 2.5 on IMDb.
Oh, man.
It was a 7, but it was way too long. I didn't want to read all of it. It says, it's from Davis P. And it says, not as bad as many might suggest. Daddy Day Camp is just simple family-friendly entertainment. Cuba Gooding Jr. actually did pretty well, despite what some critics might say about his performance. But the plot was pretty basic, nothing too deep, but the plot didn't need to be.
What?
It's supposed to be simple and fun. I watched this film one night with my grandparents, and we all liked it. Okay. It wasn't great, but it certainly wasn't terrible. It did have some gross-out moments that I didn't care for, but there were also some nice, heartwarming moments to enjoy as well. Cuba's dad in this movie was my favorite part of the whole film. That was a really good actor, and he had some great scenes.
Richard Gant.
Bottom line is that this is a movie that is safe for all families to sit and watch on family movie night. It might not win any Oscars, because he already did, and he flushed it down the toilet. But it's enjoyable enough.
Wait, so this person is sitting and watching this with their grandparents?
Yes.
There were so many things that I have questions about in that review.
Yeah, no, me too. Go ahead.
So you're old enough to write a review on IMDb, but you're sitting and watching Daddy Day Camp with your grandparents.
Well, maybe they wanted to watch. You know, you spend time with your grandparents. You go, oh, grandma, grandpa, what do you want to watch? You know, I want to watch something family friendly, you know. Oh, well, what about Daddy Day Camp?
And the fart jokes were too.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
You.
Wait.
How positively bawdy.
Those went too far. Yeah. Yeah. I think Davis P, the P stands for Paul Ryan.
The P stands for Prude.
This is a review from MLD and TN, which maybe that means they're from Tennessee. They gave it a 1 out of 10.
Okay.
Simply a horrible idea. This movie was just awful. The plot is two guys who run a daycare decide to take over a day camp. One of the guys, Charlie, is at odds with a guy who runs the other, more fancy camp. Charlie doesn't want the guy to take over the older camp. Some of the funny parts were the cleaning up the camp. It's always so funny to see someone fall through a roof while hammering or cleaning up a nasty bathroom. It will have you rolling in the floor. Not. I don't know why they wrote that.
Not.
So the ending is a predictable competition between the two camps, and the other camps cheat to win in some of the games. But Charlie's kid saves the day by winning. Why would Cuba Gooding be in this movie? He must have been desperate for a check.
Because Omar Gooding wasn't available? Because
he was in jail. Final verdict. Will you hate yourself if you waste 90 minutes on this?
Yes.
You will hate yourself if you watch 90 minutes of this. Don't do it. I don't hate myself.
No, I don't hate myself.
I despise myself. Yes.
But we have a purpose for watching it. I think if I was like, ooh, Daddy Day Camp. I think if I was like excited to watch this, I might maybe, but no, not for the purposes of this.
Yeah. Well, the one part about that reviewer, he wasn't watching it with his grandparents.
Oh, maybe that's why. Maybe he would have seen the joy in it a little bit.
He would have given it a 3.
A 2.5 at the most.
Is there anything? Is there like a number that's worse than 0 besides negatives?
No.
I guess a negative then? I give it a negative? This is a pretty bad movie.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Pretty awful movie.
God, I wish we were watching Mission Impossible 2.
I never thought I'd say that, but yeah. There were some birds in this movie, too. Birds. I am even afraid to go through our 5 questions.
I am not. The first one's a little tough for me, though.
No, not me. Go ahead.
What was the best part of the movie for you?
Oh, wait. That was the first question.
That's the first question.
The craft services table. the one guy that played the grandpa.
Richard Gant.
Yeah. For the most part, a couple of his scenes were pretty good. You could tell he was having fun playing this part.
Yeah.
He's probably the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So I will just kind of build off that for mine.
I think Brian Doyle Murphy was really good because he left right away.
I liked Richard Gant, his stuff. I mean, I thought he did pretty solid.
He went over
the
top a little bit, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, but even when he went over the top, it was still within what I would consider acceptable range for acting.
Unlike Cuba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, as awful as I thought Cuba Gooding Jr. was through a lot of this, the dramatic pieces that he has in relation to his dad were good. Yeah, I thought were good. When he was talking, he tells the kids to have heart and not be kind. He is talking about like he doesn't want his dad or his son to be like his dad. And then the scene at the train station.
But I think that's because it's elevated because you're not going, like we talked about with Bad News Bears. You're playing off a real actor, and you're not playing off these kids.
But it tells me that
ups his game a little bit.
Cuba Gooding Jr. has that ability in him.
He does.
And so in this otherwise gloomy excuse for a movie, there is this moment where you see Cuba Gooding Jr.'s acting ability really show up, and you see him play that against somebody else who has an excellent acting ability. And so, to me, like that train scene, I thought that was the best part of the movie. I think and the interactions between Cuba Gooding Jr. and Richard Gant were well done, especially
the more
dramatic pieces of it. I thought that was done, and I was like, when I saw that, because through this whole thing, I'm like, man, Cuba Gooding Jr., you're lucky you got you got some sort of like career back. And then I see these dramatic pieces, and I thought, you know what though, like you deserve to have.
There was a time
if you can go in there and do these dramatic things, you deserve that. If you can make me go, this is a part of Daddy Day Camp that I enjoy, he deserves to have some success.
What happened with Cuba Gooding Jr. is that he had to start making fun of himself and the fact that maybe he was doing these movies in order to kind of meta himself back into some sort of spotlight.
Yeah.
I think so. And then he did the Butler, Lee Daniels Butler, and I think then he started doing the American Horror Story. He found Ryan Murphy and Sarah Paulson, became friends with them. So that really helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. Those scenes were pretty good. I love that we're we're having this deep discussion about Daddy Day Cam. Go ahead. But hey, we can do that.
Well, it's important to try to pull the good out.
No, but I agree with you on those scenes are pretty good, and they're elevated, you know, to a higher level.
Yeah. Reboot, continue, or cancel? Cancel.
Sorry.
I wrote cancel 6 times.
Yeah. Axe.
Yeah. Do not make another one. Please, God, do not make another one.
There's nothing that needs to come from this. No movie, no TV show. Nothing needs to come.
Yeah,
just,
it needs to burn.
Yeah. Done with it.
Done. Anyway, so moving on. Does it stand on its own?
Compared to the first? I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen the first one.
I think
you can say it stands on its own. It's just not a well-done movie.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't stand on its own.
I think it completely stands on its own.
I mean, it's a camp setting. It's different than...
Well, you go into it, it says Daddy Daycare on the outside of the house.
Yeah.
So you know it's probably a daycare run by dads. They briefly talk about, like, well, now that the daycare is successful, so you know it's dads who run a daycare. Like, it's... They don't have to be so expository that, like, I can't rely on this movie.
Yeah, like, I kind of was okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't, like,
They did this... I think they did that portion well, where they represented it just fine. I don't think that they... I think that it could stand on its own.
I agree. It stands on its own with one leg.
Correct. I will give it that.
Yeah, there you go.
Does this make you want to watch the first movie?
Absolutely not. Does not make me want to watch the first one at all. There's no way you will get me to watch that first one.
Well, what makes me want to?
Not even Clockwork Orange style.
I want to go out right now and buy a copy of Daddy Daycare and burn it in the parking lot.
You mean, like, Daddy Day Camp or Daddy Daycare?
Daddy Daycare. Like, I don't. I want
because
just burn
it spawned
all.
This.
Yes,
you just want to burn. Everything.
I'm hoping if I burn a copy of it, that it will somehow. Go back in time and make sure it never happened.
Okay. No, it does not. I do not want to watch that.
No. No. And even, like...
But you think of, like, Eddie Murphy and how Eddie Murphy had this dive, but at least Cuba has this upward swing.
Yeah.
And where Eddie Murphy really hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Not to that, you know, not to that degree.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's the other? Sum it up in 2 words.
You first.
I put lazy attempt.
I just puke and fart. Puke, fart.
Puke, fart.
Are my 2 words. Because it makes me want to puke. It makes me want to fart. Puke, fart.
I once had the stomach flu. No, you know what? Never mind.
No. This is not a great movie.
No, not
by
any.
This is by far the worst movie that we've watched.
Yeah.
Like, at least Mission Impossible 2 had a lot of, like, there's scenes that are not so good, but there's parts inside those scenes that were really good. This is just flat out.
And The Sandlot 2 had James Earl Jones.
This is very, they take a very basic formula, and they don't do anything with it. They don't tweak it. They don't make anything new. It's a very Bad News Bears formula set at a camp. It's very dry and nothing new. The only thing that could bring this movie up to any portion of the level is the performance of an actor. And the only one that really does that is the grandpa. And he does that and then helps Cuba Gooding Jr. like we talked about. That's the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that you really can say about this movie.
Yeah.
This is a big skip.
Yeah.
Skip this movie.
Yeah, just avoid this.
Avoid all of this. If you can, avoid this. Watch what, snow dogs instead?
Snow buddies.
I don't even know. I've never even seen those.
I don't even know if that's part of the same thing or if that's off the Air Buddies.
It's not like, no, that's something else. I think it's part of the Air Buddy. Oh, that whole thing is so a cluster mess. I don't even know what's a sequel to that. This deserved every Razzie nomination that it got.
And it won.
It won the direct, I don't know, what movie?
I thought it won movie,
no,
too.
No, it won worst prequel sequel.
Yes.
This is probably, I don't know if we're going to match this. This is pretty bad. This is pretty awful.
I would have given.
Compared to the first, like the.
I would have given The Sandlot 2 a box office release.
Look.
Before I gave this one. But this one went to theaters.
Look. If we would have watched this before Sandlot 2, I would have been nicer to Sandlot 2.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's all about perspective.
It's all about perspective. So that completes Deucin' of Daddy Day Camp.
Deuce.
Daddy Day Camp. Yep. I was going to say Daddy Day Camp 2.
I keep trying to do that too.
But yeah. So... until next time.
Well, wait. Let's tell everybody where they can find us first.
Sure. I never want you to find us.
No. It makes it very difficult for listenership.
Yeah. No. So don't find us.
You can find us.
I don't want you to listen to this. Of us talking so serious about this movie.
So you can find us if you go to Facebook at The Deuce. So we have a podcast out there. Or we have our page out there where we'll post some of the podcasts. We also can be found at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, and then through other sites like Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all that fun stuff. And if there's any other places we need to upload it, let us know. Yeah, so
a lot of great feedback we're getting from us. So we appreciate all that. You guys loved our last episode, which was Hellboy 2, which was amazing. We got a lot of great downloads from that. That was probably one of the best sequel movies that we reviewed, followed by this mess, which was the worst. So,
well, and
we like to go all over all the gambit on that one.
Oh yeah, and it's
nothing's too sacred for us.
Yeah, and keep the ideas coming too, gang, because we have. We always are trying to think ahead with our schedules, sure. But if we get a good enough idea, we may have to change some things around here.
Which we kind of did for this one because we were like, crap, we got to do a Father's Day one. So
yeah,
let's do this.
So we had an original list and we started looking back over it and we're like, we need to kind of redo this. And we had a gap, a one day gap that we were like, okay, we're going to do a listener's choice or we're just going to do an hour pick thing. And I went, well, it's Father's Day. Let's do a Father's-related movie.
Yeah, and then you pick this crap. Thanks.
Well, yeah, I gave you other options.
So I want to say Happy Father's Day to my father-in-law, Dave.
Yep, and I'll say Happy Father's Day to my father-in-law, Tom.
Oh, that's my dad.
Yeah, Dave's my dad.
Neat. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So yeah, but Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Happy Father's Day to Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
And Happy Father's Day to you.
To Cuba Gooding Sr.
And to Sr. Yeah, is he still alive?
I don't know.
Well, there you go. If you still are alive, Happy Father's Day to you. And remember, the sequel is king.